Hello, and welcome to the Welligant Woman Podcast, a place for women over 40 who are ready to transform midlife, reimagine what's possible, and make each new decade better than the last. I'm your host, Karen Viesta, certified health and life coach. And after going through my own midlife reinvention, I can honestly say that I now experience more energy, vitality, confidence, and joy than I ever have before. Each week, I'll be sharing information, inspiration, and strategies to help you do the same. Let's get started. Well, hello, my Welligant friends. I hope that you are having a wonderful weekend. I am recording this. It's just after Easter. I guess technically it's not the weekend anymore. It's on Monday. It was beautiful, beautiful weather, and it was just such a fun weekend. My boyfriend's daughter got engaged a couple months back, and we had a big engagement party Saturday night, so we got to celebrate with them. That was really nice, and then I hosted Easter on Sunday. So today's been a very chill day. I'm sort of getting the house back in order and resting and kind of gearing up for the week ahead. So question for you. Do you consider yourself to be a decisive person? I think it's interesting, and I recently had kind of an insight about myself, which is what spurred me to, you know, record an episode on this topic. I was shopping, and I realized that I really become very frustrated when I'm shopping with other people. It's so interesting because, I guess those of you who know me know I'm not really much of a shopper to begin with. I just don't find it to be entertaining in the way that some people do. You know, when I shop, I'm usually very goal-oriented. I don't sort of shop for sport. You know, I go in with a purpose and an intention, and, you know, I kind of don't spend a lot of time just browsing and looking around. Maybe there are a few stores, I should probably clarify, there are a few stores that I really like. And so sometimes I'll wander in and I'll you know, walk around more for inspiration than anything else. But I'm really not somebody who can just go to the mall and you know, spend an entire day wandering into one store after another. But I had this realization that I become very frustrated when I'm shopping with other people, and particularly other women. And when I started thinking about why that is, I realized that it's because so many women struggle with making decisions. They will get really stuck deciding between one thing or another. And I get it, because to be honest, I used to struggle a bit with decisions as well. I think what it's made me realize is that I've become much more decisive over the years. And particularly since I began doing kind of the inner work, the personal development work that I've done. And I love that about myself, because I believe that there is real power in being decisive and taking action in the moment. And in this episode, I'm going to share with you how to harness that power right now. You all know that I am all about having a vision and a well thought out plan. I think that's important. I think it's great, but I don't believe that it is enough. The real game changer, in my opinion, is the speed and the decisiveness with which you execute those plans. So we, and when I say we, I mean women in midlife, women who have a lot on their minds, who are juggling lots of roles and responsibilities, women who are used to putting themselves last, who may have people-pleasing tendencies, who are very likely overwhelmed, right? We spend a lot of time spinning in indecision, generally speaking. And it costs us a lot. For one thing, it keeps our brain circling and circling around the same few things, and we don't get anywhere. We don't get a lot done. And for another thing, it keeps us overwhelmed and confused. But I think maybe the most damaging thing the most dangerous thing about not being decisive is that it prevents us from grabbing opportunities and making progress toward our dreams. There is an opportunity cost to all of that indecision and overwhelm. So here are some things that you can do, that we can all do, that will help you to become a decisive woman and to realize the power of now. So first of all, I think it's important that we stop saying the words, "I don't know." Let's just delete that phrase from our vocabulary. Because the reality is, you probably do know, right? My guess is that you really do know what you want. You really do know what you want to do. And if you don't, then that's a really good place to begin, by really taking the time to think on it and decide what it is that you want in every area of your life, right? But again, I believe that for many women, that's not really the problem. The problem isn't so much that you don't know what you want. The problem is that you've got all of these other things vying for your time and your energy and your attention, and it kind of clouds our judgment when we need to make a decision. So, you know, that leads me to my next point, which is we need to begin making decisions for ourselves. Make decisions for you first. Stop putting everyone else first. Midlife is a time when everything seems to be telling us to stop doing that, right? Our bodies, our symptoms, that's basically telling us we can no longer do things the way that we have in the past. We have to operate differently now, right? If we want to feel great and we want to get the results that we want in the second half of our life, we must start putting ourselves and our well-being first, right? And of course, that begins with clarity about who you are and what you want. So again, you know, I'll go back to what I said earlier. That's really the starting place if there's some confusion around what you want. But if you are clear on what you want, then the very next step is to just begin to make decisions for you first. And here's the thing. There is no right or wrong decision. That's another thing that trips a lot of women up. They're struggling because they feel like they've got to figure out what is the right decision. There is only a decision, right? There's no right or wrong. There's a decision, and that decision will lead to certain results, you know, and sometimes those results will be what we want and sometimes they won't. But the beautiful thing is we're always at a choice point. So if things don't work out the way we planned, we can see what our choices are in the next moment and we can make another decision, right? It's just, you know, our decisions lead us down a path, but we have complete control over that path based on the decisions that we're making. And if we understand that we're always at a choice point, you know, it's not a one and done. It's not a situation where here we are faced with a decision and, you know, oh my God, it's going to be the right one or it's going to be the wrong one. When we take that pressure off and we realize we're always faced with kind of the fork in the road, we can always make a choice and we can always make a different choice if we feel we need to down the road. So once we realize that, it does kind of take the pressure off, makes it a little bit easier to make a decision. Also, be comfortable failing. Right? I think another thing that creates a lot of pressure around decisions is this idea that, you know, failing is somehow, you know, really going to hurt us. When you come to realize that failure isn't a bad thing, it's not a reflection of your intelligence. It's certainly not a statement about your character or your good intentions, right? Failure is just a part of life and part of the process of finding success. When we think of it that way, it takes the negative charge out of failure and again, makes it so much easier to make decisions and to take action. Another strategy is to fine-tune your intuition. Another one of the consequences of having so many things and people vying for our attention and, you know, trying to trying to be a priority in our life, you know, when we have so many different priorities and we're not really focused on ourselves and what we want, we kind of lose touch with our intuition. And the way to fine-tune it and to begin to listen to it and hear it is to spend time alone, to spend time in silence, and to spend time in our body. And this is important because, you know, our body and really our life is always sending us signals, but we can't really hear them or understand them until we get still and we kind of turn inward. We're always facing out, right? We're always looking outside of ourselves. When we start to look within, we really can recognize when something is what I call a full body yes, right? There are those things that we're like, yes, and we're firm in it. It feels very true for us. It feels, you know, very clear to us. And then there are things that are clearly a no. But until we get good at tuning in and listening to and hearing our intuition, we can struggle sometimes to find those yeses and nos. You know, and part of the problem is we're often so stuck in our heads that we don't feel things in our body. I mean, for me personally, you know, I know when I feel anxiety, I know where that is. I know it's kind of in the pit of my stomach. You know, when I feel sadness, when I feel, you know, when I feel hurt, I know how that feels in my body, but that wasn't always the case. You know, I needed to spend some time in my body, you know, and for me, that practice was really through yoga. I mean, I really got good at getting back, getting out of my head and back into my body through my yoga practice. And it continues to be something that really helps me kind of home in on my intuition. But, you know, that might be something different for you. It might be taking a walk in silence. It might be meditation for some people. But whatever it is, I would say fine-tune your intuition by spending some time within, going within, and particularly, you know, feeling things in our body so that we can understand, you know, when something feels like it's really in alignment versus when it doesn't. I also find it really helpful to actively think on something for a period of time, but then to give myself a kind of a deadline, right? To compel myself to decide and to act. In other words, give yourself time to think. That is important, and not everything is an instantaneous decision, nor should it be. So it's okay to say, I need a little bit of time to think about this, but put a limit on the amount of time that you'll spend mulling it over, right? Waiting around, second guessing, or drowning in the need for more information kills a lot of great ideas. You know, it probably kills more great ideas than almost anything else because it stifles the momentum before it even has a chance to build. So I do love the idea of giving myself a deadline and just telling myself I will allow myself to think about this until such and such a day or such and such a time, and then I'll make a decision. When an idea hits, do something about it right away, even if you're only taking a very small action, because there is an energy around an idea. You know, there's like a vibrational potential that's within an idea. And it's at its peak the instant that it hits you. So it really helps to build momentum and maintain energy around the idea. And the example that I'll give you is actually this podcast. Because as I may have mentioned before, I loved listening to podcasts. I listened to podcasts for a long time before I ever had the idea to create one of my own. But there was a point in time where I thought, you know, I think I could really do that. And I think I could do it well. And I think that would be a lot of fun. You know, so it was like I had this idea like, gee, I could, you know, turn the whole idea of Welligant Woman into a podcast, and I could connect with people on a weekly basis and offer tips and strategies for living, you know, an amazing midlife. When that idea came, I could have just kind of shelved it. I could have just said, well, you know, maybe someday. And I have certainly done that many times over many other decisions. So, you know, I kind of know when I do that, that there's like maybe a 50-50 chance that it will actually happen. Because a lot of times when you shelve something, you just lose your, you know, your interest, your intensity, you know, something kind of diminishes over time. Or I knew I could take action on it. And it didn't have to, you know, I didn't go from having the idea to having a podcast, you know, from one day to the next. It was something that I thought about and I decided to do. And I took a small action, you know, one little action at a time. So the first thing I needed to do was I needed to learn, you know, what does it entail to start a podcast? So I started reading and I started, you know, listening to, I found a podcast about podcasting that was hugely helpful. So, you know, there were things that I did to kind of learn. And then after I did that, I started exploring, you know, what kind of equipment would I need to do that? And what kind of technology would it require? So anyway, my point is, I didn't just put it on the shelf. I took one small action after another. So instead of my interest diminishing, my interest was now growing. And again, there was a momentum about it that just kind of propelled me forward. And I have witnessed that, you know, both firsthand, and I've witnessed it in other people time and again. You know, the true movers and shakers possess this uncanny ability to act and to act without hesitation. You know, it's and that's why I say there's a power of now. Now, I'm not saying that there's never a time for patience, but the vast majority of victories come when you take action, even if it's a tiny action, when the inspiration hits. You know, and another benefit of this is that swift action frees up our mental capacity, right? Instead of our brain spinning and circling around, should I start the podcast or shouldn't I start the podcast or should I do this or shouldn't I do that? Our brain can now get to work figuring out how to do it, you know, figuring out what we need to move us forward. So it really does diminish confusion and free up mental capacity to just take some small action. Another strategy, it's really a caution, is don't feel the need to run your decisions, your choices, your ideas by a lot of other people. If it's a major decision and you want to run it by one or two trusted, knowledgeable people, that is totally understandable, and I would encourage you to do that. But a lot of times, we are telling other people of our ideas and our plans, or we're telling them about, you know, a choice we have to make or a decision we need to make because we want validation from somebody else, because we want somebody to tell us, yes, that's a good idea, or yes, you should do that. Right? It's almost as if we know what we want to do, but we don't feel that we have the authority to give ourselves permission to do it. We feel like we need to hear from somebody else. We need to get that permission from somebody else. And that is something that also keeps people stuck. So, you know, my advice is to get comfortable validating yourself in all areas of life. You are the authority in your life. There is nobody who knows better than you what you want and what you need. So the more that we assume that authority, the easier it is to make decisions on our own. Also, get good at managing your emotions. And this is one that may not sound like it's connected to decision making, but it's naive to think that emotions don't play a part in everything we do, including decision making. And we can run into trouble. I guess, let me back up. Emotions play a part, clearly, in decision making, but we can get into a lot of trouble when our emotions are in the driver's seat, when they are running the show and dictating our decisions. So be aware of your emotions and how they may be influencing or even delaying your decision-making process. When we manage our emotions well, you know, when we can feel them, when we can recognize them, when we can manage them and know when to set them aside, we can make good, swift decisions. And they're usually better decisions because they're not clouded by or influenced by things like guilt, anger, people pleasing, etc. You know, they're more solid because they're rooted in who you are and what you want and need. I love the Nelson Mandela quote that says, "May your choices reflect your hopes and not your fears." There is a big difference between making decisions from a place of hope and optimism versus making decisions from a place of fear and negativity. You know, if you think about it, one feels like freedom and one feels like imprisonment, right? So as you're making a decision, as you're faced with a decision, think about which way you're leaning. You know, are your thoughts leaning more toward hope, or are your thoughts leaning more towards fear? And as much as possible, try to lean in the direction of hope and to be guided by optimism. When I am now faced with a choice or a decision, I love to, again, it, you know, I mentioned earlier kind of the power of our words and the power of our vocabulary. I really find it much easier to make my decisions when I think about what I'm inspired to do rather than what I, quote unquote, should do, right? We'll often say like, oh, I don't know what I should do. I think the question is, what am I inspired to do? Inspiration, you know, when you break that word down, it means in spirit. So inspiration is being called to act because something is in direct alignment with us, with our authentic self. And not only does inspiration usually lead to great decisions, but it creates action and momentum, as I said earlier. So, you know, those three things together, a decision, an action, and momentum, that's like the secret sauce for success. So I hope that this helps you. As I said, I've gotten much better at this over the years, and I really think it's because I have implemented a lot of these strategies and I've really changed my vocabulary around, you know, decisions when I'm faced with a choice. Before I let you go, though, I am going to remind you that I'm running a free online workshop called Age with Style. And in this workshop, we are exploring all of the ways that we as women over 40 can create extraordinary beauty, wellness, and confidence. We are covering all of the things. So we're talking about caring for our bodies, our minds, and yes, even our closets, because believe it or not, it's all tied together. You know, all of those things are tools that when we learn to use them, they can really upgrade our life. And I put decision-making in that category as well. You know, it's a great tool that we can really use to move us forward. At any rate, it is all happening. This workshop is happening on April 24th. So come join us. It's going to be so much fun. You can visit wellagantwoman.com/agewithstyle, one word, or you can visit the link that is in the show notes. Either way, sign up, be there live. I cannot wait to see you. There will be a recording, so if you can't make it live, you can watch it after the fact, but there'll be a special bonus if you attend live, and it's just going to be a really, really fun event. So go sign up, and I can't wait to see you there. In the meantime, have a wonderful, Wellagant week, and I will catch you next time. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Wellagant Woman podcast. If you're enjoying the show, please don't forget to subscribe, and I'd love it if you would leave a 5-star review and share it with others. Thanks again for tuning in, and I'll catch you in the next episode.